I do wish to thank the Lord that for the Lord's table get us together, and there are several prayers that says we belong to the Lord forever, from eternity to eternity. It's that really touched my heart. What I want to share today is really very close to maybe what was said this morning. It's on this matter of the heart of God and the heart of man. You know, it's when we look at the hearts, it's really God is eternal. That's why I said we belong to Him from eternity past to the time to come. And we have to recognize it. So hopefully we could share something, because the Lord already opened the curtains and by the Holy Spirit enable us to see something in eternity. I think that's really what we need these days. Let me give you the words that's kind of like anchor the fellowship today. Ephesians 2:4. It might be one of John's favorite verse, but God, right? But God, being rich in mercy because of His great love with which He loved us. Notice the word, His great love. That's how He loved us, with His great love. Now, it's as far as heart concerned, there's great love in His heart. Now, as far as we are concerned, it's we need to respond. I mean, there's no use for Him to love us, but yet we don't respond. So it's for our response to His great love is actually the words is from the Old Testament, but it's actually appeared in the New Testament in the Gospel 3 times. I choose the word, the scripture from Luke chapter 10, verse 27. You shall love the Lord your God with all your hearts, and with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. It's the key word here is all, A-L-L. Very small words, 3-letter words, but it's with all your heart. Not a partial heart, not a divided heart, but a whole heart. Well, let's commit the time to the Lord first. Lord Jesus, we do want to give thanks to You, Lord, that You indeed is Your gathering of us around Your table to once again to show us Your hearts, that eternity love in Your heart. Lord, we are so grateful to come to know, Lord, that we are Yours forever, and in the same way You are ours forever. Lord, we appreciate that. We just want to pray for this time together. Lord, I do want to pray for that clarity, Lord, that this matter of language would not be a barrier. Lord, that You are able to break through. We pray that, Lord, the sharing will be clear. You'll be anointing, Lord, that You use it, Lord, to work, to have the impact in our life, Lord, to produce fruits. 100-folds for Your glory. So we commit this time back to You, Lord. It's something that we are very familiar with, but Lord, that we do pray. Open our eyes, Lord, that we may gaze into eternity and really see what is in Your heart and how we could respond rightly from our hearts. Lord, we commit this time unto You. Lord, we do thank You for You speak to us this day. Thank You, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Just want to tell you a little story. It's as an opening. It's group two. Group two has a lot of children come to Friday night meetings. Because there's a lot of children, we often ask them to sing together children's songs. It's one of their favorite is Jesus Love Me. Jesus Love Me. I think that's amazing, you know, to hear the word from the little children. Sometimes we are adults, we felt that, oh, I know about Jesus loved me so much, I heard about it so much, and it's no longer fresh to us. May that word to be fresh in us every day. Jesus loved me. Jesus loved us. It's also in the same way, the last couple of months, we have a chance to, well, with this technology, we call FaceTime, FaceTime with our grandchildren in Texas. It's really blessed the time. We have the time to talk, we have time to share, we have time to pray together, we have time to sing together. It really, I mean, they have all these hand motion, which we can learn. Even Jesus loved me, and they know how to sing. And when I hear them singing, I say, oh, that's, the Lord remind me, it's unless we be childlike, we would not be entering the kingdom of God. Right, so it's, again, it's, so this all come about from the little children. So I just want to say, the Lord himself speak to us in many different ways, even through the little children. It's Jesus loved me, very simple song, very simple expressions. But as we learn of the Lord, we start with the words I just mentioned, Ephesians 2:4, because of his great love, he loved us. We start off as individual. We are saved as individuals. God indeed at some point in time saw us. He loved me, and that's very personal, right? And that's our starting point. But yet in time, the Holy Spirit revealed to us, he's not only loving me. He actually loved his church. He loved brothers and sisters. Now, that's a bigger circle. And then again in time, we are reminded, I think we are all familiar with John 3:16. God so loved the world. So his love is not only the church. He loved the people he created, the people of this world. He loved them also, and that love really extends in much bigger circle now. It's not only the church, but the people in the world. He wants to bring those people into salvation, into the kingdom of God, right? And then finally, as John in his letters reminds us, well, it's love is not apart from God. In John's letter, he said, God is love. Can you send them that? God is love. Love is not a thing. Love is God. Love and God cannot be separated. It's really love is intrinsic in God. You can't separate the two. So now it's, I also mentioned the heart of God. When you look into the heart, when the Holy Spirit opened, well, it's the curtains are already opened. When you see the heart of God, what do we find? Love. So, and we say that people with no hearts, we say, we actually mean they have no love, right? So, the heart of God is what we need to see these days. Now, when I spoke of the love of God, I really means the love in the Godhead. Okay, so it's, I'm not saying, well, I mean, you can say, are you talking about the love of the Father? Are you talking about the grace of the Son? Are you talking about the Holy Spirit? All together. It's really in 2 Corinthians, the very last words, it says, may the love of God, the grace of the Lord, and the communion of the Holy Spirit with you all. They all together in the Godhead, and that love is in there. Grace is the expression of God's love. And the Holy Spirit bring that into us so that we may have fellowship. That's the word. Someone talked about fellowship recently. That fellowship, that communion, that union life, and brought to us together by the Holy Spirit. So all these are included. It's, and then this little words that say, Jesus loved me, this I know, this I know. I sit back and really ask myself the questions. Do I know? The children seems they know. In their heart, they know Jesus loved them. Do I know Jesus loved me? Now, I'm not talking about, do I know all of Jesus loved me, right? It's an outward knowing, but I'm talking about an inward knowing of Jesus loved me. It's in the heart. If I do, the next question that arises in my heart is, what is my response to his great love? If we have that inner knowing of the heart of the law, something would happen in us. You'll find that, well, as we pray this morning, we are forever his. We don't want to leave him. We don't want to be apart from him, right? We want to be with him forever. So it's so vital that we come to know the heart of God. Now let me finish the song. it's so interesting, so touching my heart. It also say, for the Bible, tell me so. For the Bible, tell me so. You remember the words after the Lord was crucified and he was resurrected, and the two disciples of the Lord going away from Jerusalem and heading to Emmaus. I hope I get it right. They knew Jesus was crucified. They heard about his resurrection. And on the way there, they are really disheartened, right? They say, oh, the Lord we trust. Now, we don't really know what happens. He was crucified. We thought he's the Messiah. But the Lord came alongside and really walked with them. And the Lord opened up the scriptures and said that, yeah, that's in, recorded in Luke chapter 24, verse 13 to 34. So the Lord spoke to them, and the Lord used all the scriptures and really say, all these, the Old Testament in this case, is about him. It's about Lord himself. Now, when you go to the New Testament, to the end of Revelation 19, verse 10, he said the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecies. So what is the spirit of prophecy? That is the spirit of the prophet that spoke of the will of God. So what does it say? It says that all the word of the prophecy really speak of, testify of Jesus. So Old Testament, New Testaments, it spoke to us regarding to about of Jesus. It saw us Jesus. So when we read the Bible, what are we looking for? Right? I have asked myself that questions. What am I looking for in God's words? Do I look for blessings? I'm sure you'll find blessing in there. You will have words of blessings. Do I look for promise? You'll find promise in the scriptures. Do I look for a word of confidence? You'll find those too. No question about it. But we have to ask a question. What's the intention of God regarding the scriptures? It's really meant to reveal Christ in us. So beyond all the things, all the benefit we could from searching God's words, that's one vital thing we have to arrive at. It's really set into our heart. The Bible revealed Jesus to us. And he showed us his great love and his mighty heart. That's the theme of the Bible from beginning to end. Many years ago, I come across a book from by Brother T. Austin Sprout. I'm not sure, maybe some of you have read, His Great Love. His Great Love. It's really a good book. We often think that Brother Sprout would talk about eternal purpose, all these many high things, things I can't understand. But yet, this book, His Great Love, really touched my heart. In the introduction, he talked about John 3:16, we are very familiar with. And he said that we take John 3:16 as the heart of gospel. Yes, it is the heart of gospel. But it's more than that. It's the heart of the heart of the universe. We oftentimes look for a will, a purpose, a power that brings into beings. But yet, when you come to the bottom of it, it is the heart. It is the heart of God. And everything takes its rise in the heart of God. So what do we focus on? Are we focused on the acts of God? Or we should focus on the heart of God? And he really wants us to know his heart. So it's today, it's there are four things, I guess. I want to share a little bit. The first one is on this love of God, but it's the Bible. I mean, you search the Bible, you find God's love everywhere. I want to focus on two things, two aspects in this case. I think the sister prayed earlier, this verse from Jeremiah 31. God and God told Jeremiah, speak to the Israelites, I have loved you with the everlasting love. Everlasting love, eternal love. So it's I want to share on that. And the second thing is on from John chapter 13. It's it says the Lord is going away, and one thing he encouraged his disciple is, I love you, those who are in the world, I love you to the uttermost, or I love you to the end. So we'll spend some time sharing on that, on those two aspects. And secondly, it's we have to look at the days we are in, right? It's we all in some way share the book of Revelation, especially the seven letters that's in chapter 2 and 3. I can't do all seven letters. I can't even do one. but I could pick up two things. I think that it's what the Lord is talking to us these days, how the Lord assesses the conditions of the church on earth today, in our time. The first one is, the first words come from Revelation 2:4. It said, but I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Now, it's that's something very serious to have the law against us. But that's the true word, that's his words. So we'll fellowship on that. And then the other one is the last letters to Laodicea. It's the special, the one verse I want to share is on Revelation 3:20. It said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hear my voice and open the door, I will come to him and will dine with him and he with me. Now it's to the church at Ephesus, you have left the first love. Now when we come to the last letters, the Lord himself is outside. What? Outside the church. I mean, it's, I don't know. I don't know what happens. But we know what happened. It's starting from Ephesus, the decline of the church. It's starting from the church, the people, the saints left his first love, maybe a little bit at a time, and then to the end, they don't even realize the Lord himself is outside. But then the Lord, that's not the end. The Lord knocked on the door. And say, let me in, open the door, I want to come in. Brother and sister, do we see the heart of the Lord right there? That love, that heart, that great love in him. He wants to come in and die with us. He wants to be with us. I'm still in the introduction. the third area I wanted to talk about as we read things, in the words we have, look, 10:27, this matter of loving the Lord with all our hearts. We have to address that because it's loving the Lord is not in words, it's not just saying. It has to be will, it has to be in our experience. So I'll share something on that, something that helped me, and I hope that it helped all of you. And the last area is really from Book of Revelation. Now, Book of Revelation, there's many things happen, many scenes, and all the seals. But yet, one thing I want to concentrate, really try to address the question is the Lord telling us what is in His heart, and what would satisfy His heart? You know, it's beyond the four horsemen. It beyond all the judgment. That's the Lord telling us something regarding to His heart. What He wants. What His deep desire is. So we'll spend some time on that one, and then the conclusion. All right. God love. It's we know the whole Bible talk about God's love from beginning to end. Again, as I mentioned, we'll find God's acts. I mean, we love God's acts. We love God's protections. We thank you for His protection and His coverage and His provision for our needs. But yet, one thing we have to know when we come to the scriptures, do we know His way? Do we know His heart? So what I want to share, as I mentioned, is two aspects. The first one is really His love is everlasting. Actually, I want to say it this way. His love is timeless. It's beyond time. Okay, now it's Friday night. Let me go back to Friday night. We fellowship on the book of Ephesians. And when we think about Ephesians, we say, oh, God's eternal purpose. That's what it's all about. Yes, that's about God's eternal purpose. But that's not what it's all about. It's very easy if we do it in word search, right? Take the book of Ephesians and you say, let me look up the word love, grace, and mercy. Well, I mean, they all spoke of love in this case. Look that up, do a search on the book of Ephesians. You find out that those three words appear in 25 of the verses. That's how important it is. So besides the Holy Spirit wants to reveal to us the eternal purpose, He really wants to see, for us to see God's heart, God's love. So Ephesians is of God's eternal purpose. It also speaks to us about His love, and His love must be eternal. It's not for a time, it's eternal, it's timeless. We already read the words, Jeremiah 31:3. Jehovah appeared of old unto me, saying, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. You know, that definitely applies to Israelites. Well, we see that in the Old Testament, how unfaithful they are. God would like to have the Israelite to be His wife. They are the virgin betrothed to the Lord Himself. But yet, they pay harlots. Adulteries, unfaithfulness, turn away from God. Well, it's what's God's reaction? And He told them through Jeremiah from His heart, He said, I saw all these, but yet there's only one word I want to give you. Tell the people, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. A love that's everlasting, have no end. Timeless. I think that's amazing. I hope that touched your heart. Now it's on this matter, timeless, eternal. That's one thing we have to know. We can come to know it's even though Jesus Himself was crucified 2,000 years ago, and we have a verse in Peter, 1 Peter, chapter 1:19-20. Give us a glimpse on what happened in eternity past. it said that Christ was a lamb before the foundation of the world. So that love, Christ loved the church, did not begin when he come after his birth, right? Christ loved his church. Christ loved us in eternity past. No question about it. We have to think about eternities. If we go all the way to the ages to come, Revelation 21, now John saw the new heaven and earth. What else did he see? Revelation 21, verse 9 and 10, he was shown the new Jerusalem. Well, not only that, he also said, come, look, this is all, what you see, not only the new holy city, Jerusalem, but you also see the bride and the lamb and the wife of the lamb. What's the bride and the wife of the lamb speak to us about? Love. So I hope I made a point that God's love to us and God's heart to us is eternal, from eternity past to the ages to come. It's timeless. Now, if it's timeless, it also means it changed not. It cannot be changed, it's timeless. It's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Why I say it's so critical at the time we are in, as John mentioned, we are really in a time of great turmoil. You know, everything seems to be shaking. Things we count on before is no longer solid. We used to count on jobs, health, relationships, government, schools, societies. But we come to know in this time, everything is shaking. There's nothing we can put our hands on. Nothing seems to be eternal. And plus, the world reminds us many believers are persecuted. It's maybe not so much, well, I won't say that, but it's they are in countries that are more persecuted than we are, the situation we're in today. But the Lord's word is, you belong to me, you'll be persecuted. There's no question about it. And there'll be time where situation gets so bad that even heaven is closed, in the sense that you'll be in a situation that seems there's nothing from the law. And there might be time that the enemy whisper to your ears and say, God has abandoned you. Of course, that's the enemy saying, that's not real, that's not true, it's a lie. But that's why I said, well, if today, may the Holy Spirit work into us, into our hearts, about this great love of God that's timeless, never change, unchangeable. Then when situation come, we could go on after the law, even everything we see, everything we feel, everything we're going through are really contrary. It's opposite, it's very, very difficult. So it's, the Lord's word is we have to see beyond what's our words, but look into the mighty heart of God. So one point I think that's critical is to us is to know his love is eternal. If I want to say it once more again, because because the way we are, as human beings, we feel that when we encounter situations, that's our eyes focus on. But yet, may the Lord have mercy on us. Really look at him as someone is eternal. Look into his heart, it's eternal. His love is eternal. It's the second aspect I want to talk about, his great love, is he loved us to the utmost. That's from John 13:1. Now before the feast of the Passover, Jesus knowing that his hour had come, that he should depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, that's us, he loved them to the end. He loved them to the uttermost. You know, Psalm 139 verse 8 tell us that God is everywhere. There's no place that God cannot reach. So as far as God's concerned, no matter what the circumstances is, there is his love. And his love is able to penetrate all circumstances. So I say, maybe I put it simple to myself, his love knows no bounds. There's no limit, no bounds. And we find that there's many examples in the Bible we are familiar with. I just choose two in this case. The first one is Peter. We always pick on Peter for some reason. But you know, it's on the Feast of Passover, the Lord said, you'll betray me. The Lord told that to you, say it to all his disciples. And Peter proudly said, even though all may fall away, I will never fall away. I will never fall. That's Peter, right? But we actually don't want to look at Peter. We want to look at the Lord himself. The Lord knew Peter is going to betray him. No question about it. He knew that. But what did the Lord do? The Bible says the Lord prayed for Peter. And he said, he prayed for Peter that his faith may not fail. And afterward, Peter would repent and really restore it, to be helpful to his brothers and sisters. So at that night, Peter betrayed the Lord three times, denied the Lord that, I don't know him. After the third one, the Lord's eye looked at Peter. That is that look from the Lord to Peter himself. That look melts his heart. Now, that's not a look that says, Peter, you deny me. No, that's not the case. It's from the heart of love that he looked at Peter. And Peter, the Bible said, Peter went out weeping. Well, we know that after resurrections, the Lord appeared to Peter first to restore him. And then at the end of John's Gospel, we see that it's the Lord restored Peter, and he asked Peter, command Peter to take care of the sheep and the lambs, right? So he's fully restored. The same story with Paul. Paul was a persecutor of the believers, and we knew the story, and his own testimony is in Acts 22, from verse 4-10. He's going around and arrest the believer, even put them to death. The Lord knew that. But yet, on the road to Damascus, the Lord appeared to Paul. As a red light, and the Lord say two things. Why are you persecuting me? I am Jesus of Nazarene, whom you're persecuting. Now, those words are not angry words. They were from the tender, loving heart of the Lord Jesus himself. Paul was turned around. He immediately turned around, repented, and instead of being a persecutor of the Lord's believers, Paul was recovered to be servant of God. Paul was a captured man, a love of Christ. And we know the rest of the story. Paul is greatly used by the Lord himself as an apostle of the Gentiles. Now, this really demonstrates God's love, no bounds, there's no limit. However, well, that's a however in this case. It's You know, God created man with a free will. God can love you, but yet if you reject God, there is consequence. In the same book, in the same chapter as John 13, it tells us that Jesus washed his disciples' feet. Now, Judah was there. The Lord knew Judah's going to betray him. But he come around and he washed Judah's feet tenderly in a loving way, right? So to express his heart to Judah and I really want him to repent. Judah's heart was hardened. He refused the Lord's love. And he went out and betrayed the Lord for 30 pieces of silver. So that would be a lesson to us. You know, it's in Hebrews chapter 3:7-8 that says, "Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts." You know, it's God gave us a new heart when we are saved. God took away the stone hearts. It's meant to be tender, meant to be sensitive to the Lord himself, sensitive to his heart. But yet we could, by rejecting what the Lord gave to us, we could, that heart could be hardened. Could be so hardened that we are we could totally turn away from the Lord. So just pray for one another that we would have that sensitive ear to hear his voice and a tender heart that is sensitive to the touch of the Lord. So we see these two aspects of God, of the Lord's love. His love is timeless. His love knows no bound. But yet today, as we come to this century, the time we are in, when the Lord walked in the midst of the seven golden lampstands, what does he see? We have to ask the question, what does he see? He sees many things, actually. In the letters, he speaks to us many things. He speaks of the cleansing of the church. He speaks of the specific testimony that was entrusted to the church. He speaks of the calling of overcomers. But one thing I felt that in my heart is very special. It's actually so us. When the Lord looks at all this condition, his heart is grieved. I don't know whether you sense that in reading the seven letters, especially the first one and the last one. It's I sense it, the Lord grieved. Now, it's sometimes we think that all we do, well, if we are, if we fail the Lord, if we sin against him, that only affect myself. No, that's not the case. Besides you affect ourselves, you actually affect the Lord. He grieves. He's very capable of grieving because he has a heart. So it's, do we really want to grieve the Lord? That's the question. So let's take a little bit closer to the letters. Revelation 2, 4 and 5, verse 2 and 4, that's the first letter to the church in Ephesus. He said, "But I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, and repent, and do the deeds you did at first, or else I'm coming to you and will remove your lampstand out of its place, unless you repent." You know, it's, if you look at the church at Ephesus, as recorded in Revelation chapter 2, they have good deeds, right? It's they seem to do many, there's many outward work. It's they seem to do the right things. They have good testimonies. The Lord took notice of that, but there's one thing the Lord said, "I have this against you. You have left the first love." It seems to me that we could have all the external things, all the deeds and all the work. But if those are not because it's coming out from the first love we have for the Lord, the Lord sees that that's a key element that's missing. That's first love. Your first love to the Lord Himself, that's what the Lord is looking for, that first love. And the challenge is a really strong word from the Lord is that unless they repent and return to the first love, what happens? He would remove the lampstand. Now, that's a big deal, right? The lampstand stands for the function of the church, the testimony. When the lampstand is gone, the testimony is gone. The church has no fun, no purpose. The church has no purpose. So, when we read these letters, what do we see? It's the Lord's desire is we should be immersed in His love and response in the light matters. Otherwise, everything becomes external. Everything would become an hour form, become routine, a matter of duty, and not motivated by love. And first love is being substituted with these only. That's a very sad situation. You know, I bring out these letters from Ephesians. I wonder. In a sense where do we just see the elements in the letters, or do we come to a conclusion that at that time at the church or Ephesus, I come to that conclusion is they actually don't know the heart of God. They don't. It's because they think that we can do all these, A, B, C, D, E, and F, but yet the Lord is after first love. And that's really critical in our days. Do we know what the Lord is after? He's not only after work, He's not only after these, He's after all these as long as it gets to be motivated by the first love. Secondly, if you look at the last letters to the church in Laodicea. Now, these two letters, the first one and last one, bookend the seven letters. So it shows us something, especially in terms of love. Now, in the last letters, the letter to Laodicea. It really, the declension of the church progressed from Ephesians, the church at Ephesus, left the first love to really in bad situations, right? Let me just read Revelation 3:20. It said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hear my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and will dine with him and he with me." Now, so we see conditions. The law is outside, no question about it. And the saints, the brother and sister, the saints in the church actually don't know the law is outside, right? They just don't know. The law's assessment for the church is you are blind, you are naked, you can't see. But they say, we are not blind, we are rich, we can see. What a contrary. You know, when we begin to stray away from God's first love or lightly response to God's first love, we will progress a little bit, a small step at a time, until we come to the point that the Lord is left outside. The Lord is left outside, and we don't even know it. Now, I don't want to concentrate on the acts of what the church does, but indeed we have to look into the heart of God. What is the letter so well regarding to the love that the Lord has for His church? Right. So the Lord said, the Lord sees this, oh, you put me outside the door. What the Lord Jesus does, he did not walk away. We know that. He's there, he's by the door. He knocked. The Lord never left. He knocked. And he said, open the door. Hear my voice, open the door. And I will come in to him. Now, do we see that the love in the Lord's heart, do we see that? And that's the way he is. I want to bring up a story I think we are all familiar with in Luke chapter 15, this parable of the lost son. And what happened when the younger son returned home? He said, my son was lost, but now he's found. Well, he was once dead, now he's alive. He was lost, now he's found. And let's celebrate, right? That's the reaction of the father. In the same way, what the Lord's looking for is open the door. I'd be so delighted to come in and to dine with you. All you need to do is hear my voice and open the door. So we do thank the Lord that has this great heart, that he loves us, and he never give up, not even on the case of the church at Laodicea, not even when the saints left the Lord outside, he's still knocking. And one thing, when you think about the lost son in the Luke chapter 15, you have to say that after he returned home, after he was recovered, after he was restored by the father, what do you think he would do? I think that he would never leave him, right? Do you think he would leave him again? No. I think the same thing is true here. It's on this story, on this, the church, you know, Laodicea. If we open the door and let the Lord in, that's it, we'll be all together. I don't think we will leave him because we come to, that's the love of the Lord that touch our heart and that make the difference. It's next thing I want to share on our response. You know, it's we know times are quite difficult. I don't have to say that, but we all know that, right? It's the Lord's coming soon. We all know that too. It's and that's a verse in Matthew 24:12, and he said, "And because of lawlessness is increased, most people's love will go cold." It's foretold by the Lord himself. The word love here is agape. Okay, I want to point that out. So he's not talking about the general population. He's talking about God's people. The Lord did not say just a minority of people's, of God's people's heart go cold. Not a minority, not some. But he said, most of God's people, their heart become cold. I think that's a tragedy. We really have to see that, not besides knowing, there get to be a response. There has to be a response. Otherwise, we might. That's the love of God, even though it could touch us a little bit, that seemed to be fade away. Our knowing of it, the love never fade away, but our knowing of it, our capture of it. So it's really the Lord burdened me with the words from Luke 10:27b that said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." All these have to become to practical. And the word is all. You gotta remember, not partial, not 99%, 100%, everything. It's that's what he is. And we see in the sample, you know, when Peter, we talk about Peter, we talk about Paul, when their heart were touched by the Lord himself, they are forever the Lord's, and they follow the Lord even unto death. We read about the story about Count Sinzendorf. in his young age, he write letters, love letter to the law. He loved the law in his young age, and his heart is really captured by the law. And he served the law with his heart. So it's for us, it's that loving with the whole heart has to be our experience. There's no escape. And I must emphasize that a partial heart is not sufficient. You find out if you love the law 99% and you love someone else 1%, and that 1% become 5% in time, become 10, very soon it become 100. And you no longer love the law anymore. So it has to be our life experience. I have a set of reminder to myself. It's really what I remind myself, that relationship with the Lord, and that is what we have a lot of time when we pray for one another. We bring this up. I think that's it's very useful to me, and I hope it's very useful to you all. So it's on this really practical experience. The first one I have is receive Him. Very strange word, receive Him. We know from John 1:11, the Lord come to the Israelites. He said, He come unto His own, but they that were His own receive Him not. That's a sad story, is it? He come to the Jews, He come to Israelites, and they don't receive Him, they don't welcome Him. I think the Lord must grieve. But yet, what the Lord was on earth, He found a place, a little place called Bethany. And in this home, there is Martha, and there's Mary, and there's Lazarus. And the word said, Luke chapter 10, verse 38, it said that now as they went on their way, well, that's the Lord and His disciples, He entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received Him into her house. Received Him. You know, it's a sad situation if we don't receive the Lord, or put it in our way, if we don't welcome the Lord in the midst of us. And, well, put it in our way, if the Lord Himself becomes a stranger to us, that's not receiving, right? So it really remind me that we need to have that relationship with the Lord. It's when we look at all this, we get to in our daily life, whether we assemble together, or whether at home, whether individuals, we need to welcome Him. Very simple gestures, welcome the Lord into the midst of us. Don't let the Lord to be strangers. He wants to be in the midst of us. He loves us. Secondly, love His word. You know, it's John 14:15 that says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Well, how, if we don't know what commandment is, how could we keep His commandments? Right. So you really mean that? I think we all remember the story of C.T. Stubb. He loved the law so much, so every morning, early in the morning, he woke up, he searched the scripture for the commandments that he can keep every morning. That should be a lesson to us. I'm not saying you all should get up, I don't know what time, 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning, read. But yet, we need to pray that we may have that hunger for the Word of God. So that, and also we love His word. Thirdly, it's again in John 13:23 that said, we talk about John in this case, John the disciple, there was reclining on Jesus' breast one of His disciples whom Jesus loved. We can read that as something physical. John was there, and he's leaning on the Lord's breast, right? But you see the picture there. You can see the picture there. It's we get to lean on the Lord himself, here as close to his heart as possible, heart of love, to hear his heartbeats, to know his heart, to hear every word of love, and to be a man after God's heart. Next one I have is love to abide in him. Well, we again, it's from John chapter 15. It's the Lord said, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. Lord, this matter of the vine and the branches, a lot of time we concentrate on the branches. You say, oh, what happened if I'm away, I'm breaking away, I'm no longer connected? That's a good focus, but that's not the sole focus, I'm saying. It's think about the vine. What happened to the vine when the branches break away? The vine is the Lord, right? How would the Lord feel that that he has missing branches, his missing brothers and sisters that no longer attached to him? We have to sense that grief in his heart. And our goal is not to grieve him. So this word of love to abide in him, to have a union life with him, is that our desire? Almost got to the end. Love not the world. That's from the letter of John, 1 John 2:15. Do not love the world nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. A lot of time we think that, loving the Lord and loving the world, we think about priorities and we think about, 90% loving the Lord, 10% loving the world. What's wrong with it, right? There's a lot wrong with it. Look at the words. He said, anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Anyone loves the world. So we can't. It's this contrary. You know, if you can do both, that's only a fantasy. That's not the way of the Lord. We can love the world and love the Lord at the same time. So love not the world. Love not the world. The next one is love one another and serve out of love. You know, when we read again John chapter 13, verse 34, it said, the Lord gave us a new commandment. He said, you love one another, even I have loved you. So you also love one another. Loving one another is his new commandments. But loving one another does not translate it to just doing things for one another. Good deeds. It's more than that. We all remember from 1 Corinthians chapter 13, that chapter of love, the first three verses. What's that speak to us? The Lord said, you can have all these deeds, you can have all this doing, but yet without love, the Lord said, you count for nothing. That's what you said there. So we can't. We should love one another. That's the Lord's commandment. But just don't mistake serving with loving. We need to serve. Okay, don't take me wrong. But we cannot serve out of duty. We shouldn't serve out of duty. We get to love and we get to serve. To serve one another out of love. The last chapter in John that said, the Lord asked Peter the questions three times, do you love me more than all these? That's how we serve one another. It has to be from that. We have to love the Lord with more than all these things that important, but yet secondary. We can love the Lord more than all these. Two more items, I'm done. Love the people of this world. I think we do. We have to. Because John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Do we feel that the love of God upon the people of this world in our hearts. It's 2 Peter 3:9, it's the heart of God that all, not one to perish, but all come to repentance. So may the Lord give us that compassions, that we could pray for our family members, our neighbors, people around us, people we know, even people we don't know. It's share the Gospels, share God's love. Because God's desire is for all to come to repentance. And lastly, it's a word from, I think it's from Timothy. It says, I have put down love his appearance. So remember what Paul said at the end of his life, that is the crown of righteousness that's reserved for the one, for him, and for the one who loves his appearance. So it's, again, in our hearts, the Lord's coming, and that has to be focused. And we have to, beyond all this, we just set the eye on his coming and really love him for his appearance. It's 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 11 and 12 that said, the way we live, we should live in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hasten the coming of the day of God. Yeah, that's the way we should live today, is to have that heart to really love his appearance so that we could live in such holy conduct and godliness. I got to skip my last part because I ran out of time. So I'm not going to share at this time on the Revelation. It takes a little bit of time. But let's just conclude, okay? It's at least we can see at the end of the Revelation, the new Jerusalem sun come down, and we see the bride, the holy city, the bride and the wife of the Lamb. Now they are one of the same. They are not different. They are one of the same. It's at the end you can see that in eternity, what the Lord is looking for is. In eternity, what he get is, the Lord himself get his companions of love. Right, that's the end. Now we are in the process. So it's, in conclusion, it's vital to have a heart response. It's vital for us to know the mighty heart of God, his great love. And then the experience to respond to that. And the goal of responding is to satisfy the Lord's heart. It's the Lord's heart has no limits. It's timeless. It's beyond time. It has no bounds. And we have to see that in the time we are in. There are many challenges, but keep our eyes on eternal, on what is eternal. And also. The way we live today, I mentioned a couple of things that remind us in practical way to really how we could do the exercise to really love the Lord with all his heart. It's Revelation 1:3 that said, the time is near. Okay, the time is near. And the last word is that the Lord said, Holy Spirit said, yes, he's coming quickly. What is our response? May our hearts say, amen, come Lord Jesus. That's what the Lord is after. Each one of us all together is to have that heart. And that's the goal. But there's something that we need to exercise, to have that experience, to have that knowing of the heart of the Lord so that we could satisfy him. And we don't want to be concentrated on things that's only temporary, but look at what's eternal, look into his heart, his heart of love, look into what grieved him so that we can repent and really come back and really satisfy his heart in these days. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we do want to give thanks to you, Lord, as you pull away the curtains, we have some sense of what is deep in your heart, that mighty heart of yours, Lord, that love you have, that extended beyond us individual, that the love of the church, the love of the people of this world. Lord, we just want to bow down your feet and really want to give ourselves back to you. May it be that, Lord, that you work, you put this all in our hearts, so that, Lord, that our eyes would not be on something that's really temporary, but our eyes would be on what is eternal, what is deep in your heart. Lord, enable us to respond to your great love, with that we may love you with all our hearts. Lord, it's work that in each one of us. Our goal is that, Lord, that your heart would be satisfied, not only today, but for eternity to come. Lord, have it your way. Lord, we do thank you for your loving kindness. You're still knocking on the door these days. You want to come in. You want to be with your people together. Oh, Lord, what a heart that is. Touch your heart with your great love. So that, Lord, that we would return unto you, and we would never leave. Lord, as that younger son did, Lord, we thank you for your great love. We thank you for this time. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.